This is your boy Gabe Portillo, aka Real GDP 227. If you want to play Fortnite with me, you're listening to Infield Singles Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
Glad to be here.
This is the best thing I've done all week.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Are you ready for the best podcast ever?
After 4 years of investment and many days of begging, here I am on the podcast. Big fan.
All right, we're here with Cedarville President Dr. Roy. Big hustle. That's what the Infield Singles are about.
Hey, I like it.
Thank you.
Very much. Thank you. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Infield Singles Podcast. This is Josh Wells. I'm here with Spencer Urban, Tad McKenna, Michael Connor. We're missing Chase. Don't know where he's at, but we got four of the five here, which is kind of abnormal, so it's good for everybody to be here. This is the 25th, the Silver episode. We got Gabe Portillo on later. He's going to talk a little bit about Italy and basketball and all the other stuff that goes with it.
Mamma mia.
So this time of year, we got March Madness starting up. First day of games going on. It's been pretty great. We got baseball starting, but who's everybody got for their tournament picks? Who they got winning?
So I've got Duke in most of mine. I've got Michigan State in one, but it's mainly Duke and North Carolina, which is unfortunate, but it's probably mostly true. I don't know.
I have Duke in my bracket. I only made one this year. Usually I make a lot, but this year I went with the dad route and only made one bracket.
I flipped a coin and I have Abilene Christian winning it all.
It's a hot take. Yeah, I have Duke as well.
Well, then your bracket must suck, Michael.
No, all your guys' brackets are about to suck.
Do you only make one?
No, I
made quite a few.
Oh.
And the one I actually care about is the coin flip.
I still made a paper one. I don't know about you guys, but I still like doing the paper one.
Feel good writing it down.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Last night I was thinking to myself how I didn't do a paper one this year, but I think I'm just so like caught up in fantasy baseball and just the baseball season already that it kind of passed by, and I just kind of didn't even think about it. I filled out my bracket right away. And I don't know why I listened to Chase, but I asked Chase what time the game started today, and he said 12:40. So I was like, well, I can, you know, edit my picks before that, and then I'll be able to look through it a little more in depth. That way I have time. And I get on at about 12:15, and the first game's already underway. So my first mistake was listening to Chase about anything related to anything. But so that's my bracket's not going to be very good, but that's my justification. So.
But at least I don't have Abilene, Barney Lean, Christian, Muslim University winning.
You all watch. You all watch.
I mean, the man's got a hole in his pants.
Huh?
Huh?
I have a hole in my pants?
No, the Abilene Marmalade Christian College coach.
Oh.
That was like a big, unreasonably big headline.
I did not hear that headline.
For the folks at home who also did not hear that headline, apparently he only has one suit. He's a college basketball coach, but he only has one suit, and he ripped a hole in it during their conference championship game, and they asked him about it in the press conference, and he was like, well, I guess we're just...
Golly.
Smoking too much. I guess we're just going to face Kentucky, and I'm going to have a hole in my pants, but we're just going to do our best. So there's that.
Have you been hitting the jewel too much lately?
I have not.
No. Well, yeah, so baseball season's coming up.
Baseball season's here. Ichiro played his last game today.
Yeah, that's true. Every year I get very excited about baseball at the very beginning, and then I completely like ignore it like 2 days later.
Well, yeah, same. And that's been the same with me because the Reds have been so bad. But I think this year might be the year that I actually like stick with it. Because with Puig, they got Sonny Gray now. Alex, I mean, it's looking up a little bit. Watch out, Cardinals.
Michael, can you Google there on your computer what the definition of a fair weather fan is?
Josh's Facebook page comes up.
Oh, shoot. No, I'm just playing. But in baseball news, so Mike Trout made Bryce Harper look like a chump signed for a lot more money than he did, and a year less. Yeah, and then all you Cardinals faithful, they signed Goldschmidt to an extension today, so that's pretty exciting.
Oh,
I'm sure you all care about that.
I'm going to be making them all look like chumps to my graphic design salary, so they can suck it.
I saw some, it was a tweet, actually it was Riley Landrum, he tweeted, he, former guest on the show as well, but he tweeted about how if Mike Trout were to go walking through a mall, nobody would know who he is, but yeah, he's like the best player in baseball. I think that's just kind of sad that this used to be such a big sport, but now it's like so little and people won't even recognize the best player in baseball.
The millennials, man.
I think it also has to do with Mike Trout kind of being a humble guy. Like, I feel like he's not, like, I don't know, some people are super flashy, you know, but Mike Trout's a fairly level-headed guy, I think.
I feel like a lot of people would recognize, like, Bryce Harper if they saw him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or if you saw Puig, you'd just be like, oh, that guy's doing something professional, I don't know what, but...
I'm coming up with this game here to test Josh's true fanhood for the Reds, so give me a
oh boy.
Couple minutes here.
Michael's coming up with a game for Josh.
I did. I've taken like two trips through Great American Ballpark, so I might be able to.
Like,
nail
you've been
this
to quick. Two games?
No. Like, they've actually taken us on tours, like through the Reds Hall of Fame and stuff like that.
I've done that with the Cardinals Stadium. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Jonah. So, like we said, today's like the first official day of March Madness. There were some play-in games, and in Dayton that some of the infield singles went to, I believe. I believe you were one of those people, Spencer.
I was one of those people.
So, how was your experience in good old UD Arena?
So, it's definitely a different type of arena for sure. And Chase Gruitt walks in. Welcome, Chase.
Looking like a skinhead.
Sporting his Cleveland Browns sweatshirt.
Talk about a fair weather fan.
But
yeah. So yesterday, I'm sitting in my room, and then Chauncey, who was he a guest on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chauncey came into my room. So what you doing tonight? It's like, nothing really. So, well, we got free tickets to the March Madness tonight if you want to go. So I was like, yeah, I guess I'll go. So it was a good time. The first game was two 16 seeds. It was North Carolina Central, and it was North Dakota State. So the game, like, it was a pretty close game, but it was like, you know, the talent level wasn't there as it was in the second game, which was St. John's versus Arizona State, and Arizona State they both kind of sucked, but Arizona State was started taking that one away. But it was a good time. It was a cool experience. I've never been to a March Madness game before, but I've been to a college basketball game before.
And then today we've already had some madness going on. We like to ask our guests who are athletes, you know, who would you want to take the last shot with the game on the line? And Auburn got fouled, or no, not Auburn, New Mexico State got fouled, had three shots, they were down two. They just needed to hit two out of the three to at least tie it. And apparently that guy is not the one you want shooting the free throws because he missed two of them, and then they lost because of that, so.
All right. Well, Josh just said he's excited for Reds baseball. Am I correct? Did Josh say that?
Josh, on the record? Josh is very excited.
He's
for Reds
excited
baseball.
For Reds baseball.
And he'll follow this year because they're good.
And he's from Cincinnati. One can assume as a Reds fan that he would know the players pretty well, or you know the team history pretty well, right?
I would not say that.
No. Let's not backtrack now. But will you?
Well, no. I don't know the history. I don't know the history.
Okay, but you would probably know some like well-known players, right?
I'd like to think.
But you've
so.
You've taken tours to Great American.
I
Ballpark.
Have taken through
so twice, two tours,
it's been two games.
You're on the hot seat. All right, so then one could probably assume that you would know the difference between a Reds legend and a Journey band member, right? So if I gave you a name, you could tell me if it was a Reds player, or through, a, right?
Possibly.
Okay. So if I said Pete Rose,
okay, well, yeah,
Reds. Is he a Red or a Journey member?
Well, he has a statue at the Reds, just recently put up at the Red Stadium. So I'm going to go with Reds legend.
And then if I said Bid McPhee, you would say,
uh oh,
do 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 do.
I've never heard that name before in my life.
You've never heard of Bid McPhee?
You got a 50-50 shot.
Well, Bid McPhee was a second baseman for the Reds.
In what year?
He made his debut in 1882. There you go.
Yeah, joke's on you, Michael.
All right. We'll move it up a bit. All right, how about Neil Schoen?
That sounds like a journey.
You're correct.
Ooh.
Arnold Pineda.
Red, if I've ever heard one.
I don't know. Baseball player. I don't know. This might be a trick one. I've never heard this name before either.
Well, you just gotta guess.
I'm going to go with Journey as well.
Oh, he's on fire. Steve Augieri.
You know what, Michael? I think I'm going to go with Reds.
Oh, he is an American rock singer best known for his work as the lead singer of Journey from 1998 to 2006. Oh, Dave Concepcion.
Oh, that's Reds.
All right. Veda Pinson.
Reds.
Heine Groh.
Heine Groh.
Can I go with made up name?
Is that a pill?
No.
Well, that seems like a pretty baseball name to me. But yeah, I'll go with Reds, but I've never heard that name before.
He's backfiring bad because he's on fire. Robert Fleischman.
Fleischman? I think Reds.
Oh yeah, he's on Journey. Well, Dolph Luke.
Oh. I've heard that name. Why have I heard that name? Journey.
Oh, Reds.
Dang it.
Now we're starting to get it. Paul Derringer.
Reds.
Wait, can I interrupt this?
Yes.
Did Randy Jackson really play bass for Journey?
That's what it said. I saw that.
I don't know if that... I didn't know that. Been 85 to 87. That was like the early years, I think, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, dog.
All right. Anyway. Ed Rausch.
Reds.
Yep. Ross Valerie.
Journey.
Correct.
Oh man.
Who there was a catcher for the Reds.
Johnny
who,
Bench.
Tucker Barnhart.
I don't remember his name, but he's one of the ones with a he was more of a designated hitter, but he like brought in the cutoff sleeve trend or something like that. He was in the batting circle, and he always swung with like two or three bats when he was getting warmed up, and his sleeves were constricting him, kind of like LeBron that one game where he kind of like ripped the sleeves, and so he actually tore off his sleeves before he went up the bat, and they got like his statue with his cut off after he ripped it off. And then what's another story? Oh yeah. The old Crosley Field, Babe Ruth was playing on it one time, and somebody from the Reds, Babe Ruth was playing center field. Somebody hit it to center. Babe Ruth's running back in the old Crosley Field had they called it the Crosley Terrace. It was like a little mound or slant in the back, kind of like the Astros have. And Babe Ruth tripped over it, and when he tripped over it, he actually got so mad that he tripped over it that he walked out of the game.
Well, there you go.
And now, Michael, that Josh has told two Reds stories to prove he's a Reds fan, you must tell two stories about Journey to prove you're a Journey fan.
Oh, ho, ho.
Well, Steve Perry, he was a guy who sang for Journey. And then...
Tell us about Steve Perry, Michael.
Oh, what do you want to know about Steve Perry?
I want to know his funniest story that you have. Because I know if anyone knows Steve Perry, it's you.
Oh, if anyone knows Steve Perry, 5'7", born January 22nd.
Chase has been locked out of the room while he was in the shower.
There's a knock at the door.
Who is it?
Funny thing about Steve Perry, he nearly gave up music when the bassist of his band when he was in his 20s died in a car accident.
Randy Jackson?
No, Steve Perry.
Oh.
Funny story.
Who was the bassist?
Dick Michaels. Chase, you have anything you want to say to the folks at home before we get into fan mail? All right. Close the door then.
Can we kick Chase off the podcast?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. All right. You have 24 hours to turn in your shirt.
Anyway,
let's let the good times
how
roll.
How about that fan mail?
Fan mail.
Drum roll, please.
This edition is coming from my phone over the last 2 hours. First question comes from Justin from Nashville, who asks, who was your first celebrity crush?
Easy. Kelly Kapowski. Saved by the Bell.
Oh. Selena Gomez, Wizards of Waverly Place. Watching Disney Channel.
Lindsay Lohan in The Parent Trap.
Oh.
Oh, you were a youngin'.
I was a youngin'. I remember that. I was in like fourth grade.
Apparently, when I was like one or two, I had an infatuation with the girl on the Welch's grape juice commercial. So maybe that counts. All right. Good question, Justin. Let's settle down.
Thanks, Justin.
All right. Next question comes from Dad from Indiana. He asks, Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, or Steak and Shake?
Oh, yikes.
I'll go
Steak
and
Shake. You're off the podcast.
I'll go Steak and Shake. Steak and Shake's good. It's only like $4.99 for a meal.
Also takes like 499 days to get meal.
Oh, depends on the service or the place.
Huh?
It depends on the place. Oh, I'm just too worried about a celebration. It depends on the place. Like, I've had quick meals from Steak and Shake. I've also gone into the bathroom and seen someone that threw up in the urinal as I was going to the bathroom before my meal. I came out and I wanted no part of that Steak and Shake meal.
So, but, okay. But it's still number one.
Still number one, yeah.
Wendy's.
Well, it depends. If I'm taking a lady out, I'd say Steak and Shake is probably the way to go. If I'm looking for a late night nug run, then probably BK. Overall, probably Steak and Shake.
What if you're looking for a late night nug run with a lady?
Well, that ain't never happened.
All right. I'll go Steak and Shake as well. Dave from Ohio asks, what's the best state in the union?
Well, Dave from Ohio, I'll go Ohio.
I think that's comical. I'm going to go with Michigan. I mean, are you kidding me?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. Pennsylvania. There you go.
On what basis?
Gettysburg.
Oh. Oh. Josh's credibility.
I'll go Indiana.
Can we get a... That's comical.
That is also comical.
Ellie from Poopville asks, what is your favorite thing on the Wells Sizer registry?
There's a registry.
I think it's very funny that we were even told about the registry because we ain't getting anything.
Yeah, I prefer to hand make my wedding gifts. Have you guys ever seen the macaroni cards? You know, those are great.
Or the pinatas full of poop.
Oh, God. Oh, yes, we can bring a pinata.
Oh, no.
What type of phone do you guys have? Like, you just have chargers.
An iTunes gift card.
All
wait,
right.
Wait. Can we play What's on the Wedding Registry?
Yeah. The Knot.
Trying to think. What's been... we got fondue set by...
You're asking for a fondue
maker? No, we already got one.
Yeah. Back off, Spencer.
I just Googled The Knot. That didn't give me anything.
How do you feel about plastic Tupperware?
Because Chase ain't giving up his.
How do you feel about plastic Tupperware that's only been washed with lukewarm water?
Overnight.
Wait, you have the Not Newlywed Fund. You guys are raising money?
Yeah, you can put it on that too.
Let it be known, on March 21st, we realize this wedding is a Ponzi scheme.
There's a honeymoon fund, and the first grocery trip fund.
You gonna empty out my bank account for you, Josh? Oh my goodness!
Wait, what was it that Josh said the reason he was going to Grace on Sunday was?
Yeah. Why don't you tell the folks at home why you went to church Sunday?
Why I went to church Sunday?
Why'd you go to Grace?
So that we can see people before the shower.
And what was the answer you gave us why you went there?
Because I love her church too and everybody there.
Wrong.
Strike two.
I wanted food afterwards.
Swing and a miss.
Oh, no!
The correct answer was gifts. I think my favorite thing might be this $3.95 15-ounce clear drinking glass, because that seems to be within budget.
But we need six of them.
We got
how many does he need? Okay, well, there's four of us in here that are not
six of them.
We got kitchen
shears.
There's
only two of you.
For people that come over.
They can bring
like
their own.
I'll bring my own cup.
We got salt and pepper shakers.
Bring your own bottle.
You could buy the other towel. We need, so somebody only bought one beach towel, and so we only have one beach towel.
Those scumbags. What were they thinking?
What a 7-inch grabber.
Inconsiderate.
Oh, gosh.
It's a mini oven mitt. Actually, that one's already been gifted.
Yeah.
They got knives.
The knives have been gifted.
Henkel's
well.
Knives. They got,
Do you think Henkel has cankles?
Yes. Who doesn't these days?
Oh.
What about
I think David and Adam, I think, got us that.
A corkscrew?
Yeah. And the apple slicer.
You guys popping bottles?
I mean, you know, I won't be working for the or going to the university.
Wait, is there an open bar at the wedding?
No.
Is there cake
is there
at the wedding?
Is there a closed bar at the wedding?
There's cupcakes and...
Steak?
Cupcakes.
What about steak?
No, no steak.
No.
I was told there'd be filet mignon.
That was before the price was
before
like
you realized
30
what
bucks
prices
a person.
Were.
Before you learned what filet mignon was. Josh, heck of a guy.
I thought it was a pizza.
What else we could? A fondue. Oh, there's the fondue. You need fondue forks.
Yeah, we could go for those.
We
two.
Can make some.
Michael, pick out something for me to buy.
Okay. Ooh.
Go on Chuck's raid.
There's a.
Oh, we could get them a set of Chuck's Tupperware. Chuck's dining set. Yeah.
Couple blue plates.
Somebody bought us our dining
well,
set.
Hey,
well,
hey, while we're talking about this, what was the nicest gift you were given on at your engagement party?
The balsam was it was balsamic vinegar. Is it still sitting there?
It's still
there. Yeah. From the guys was pretty nice to get.
From the kiddie table.
Yeah.
From the folks at the kiddie table.
We walked in, I was like, "Oh, I know exactly where we're sitting."
Spencer, there's a $5 spreader for like butter and cheeses.
What, you just use a knife?
That's what, but this one's a spreader.
It's a butter
it's
knife.
It's dedicated to butter.
It's a butter knife.
Part of me feels bad, but a part of me also knows that Ellie should have known better than to ask us to go through her registry.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything embarrassing on there or anything like that.
Well, the honeymoon, like the first grocery trip.
We already got, and Brent Peterson put money in our honeymoon fund. Thank you, Brent. I don't know if you listen, but.
All right, well, now that we've exhausted that question, thank you, Ellie from Poopville.
Ellie's cousin Lizzie from Cedarville asked, what's the worst pain you've ever been in?
Other than going through the registry?
Like, emotionally or physically?
What's the worst pain?
Well, my girlfriend left me. I don't know, probably tearing my ACL. That hurt pretty bad.
Josh?
I slipped a disc in my back. That did not feel good.
Dan?
Probably break, stress fracturing my growth plate in my ankle.
I'll go with when the Eagles lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots in 2005. Chase, never mind. Yeah, you can, honorary guest Chase, what's the worst pain you've ever been in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're not on the podcast.
How about he
anymore.
Has to write an essay on why he deserves to be on the podcast? Like showing what he
you think
does.
I'm
I would say,
well,
Chase, it's been real having you. You're out.
This is the kid that can't do his Theo homework. Jeez.
Hey, I did the last one.
Okay.
Congratulations.
You're making... Oh, gosh.
All right, and then the last question's for Tad, and it comes from Mom from Indiana, and it is, Tad, when's the last time you played the violin?
It was probably over winter break, although I need to get it out and knock some rust off before the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Or it'd be really funny if I just don't play until the wedding and then just sight read it and just kind of hope for the best.
Or right before you hand me the violin.
Ooh.
and you hand me the wedding Bible officiating, so you can read it. Yeah, business. Oh, in other news, Steve-O doesn't have a minister for his wedding yet.
I am well aware, and I have pitched it to him many a time.
Oh, okay.
I also pitched, who did I pitch it to the other day?
Michaela? That's who you need to be working on.
Yeah,
Michaela. You need to be pitching to Michaela.
I remember.
See, Rachel has stopped. She's given up.
Yeah, Rachel's cooled off.
That's cool. I'm okay.
Is that the most pain you were in when you didn't see her over spring break?
When I turned that corner at Gettysburg and Rachel was nowhere to be seen, I shed a tear.
All right. Well, on that note, another great batch of fan mail. Please, folks, send in fan mail. We need it. But yeah, just keep them coming, please.
And now we're going to send it on over to our interview with Gabe Portillo after a word from our sponsors.
A boy went back to Napoli because he missed the scenery, the native dances and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong, 'cause now it's
hey mambo, mambo Italiano, hey, hey mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano, all you Calabrese do the mambo like a crazy.
Joining us now on the Infield Singles Podcast is NCCAA Division I National Champion and Italy's finest, Gabe Portillo. Gabe was a four-year member of the Cedarville men's basketball team, and now he's going to sit down with us and talk about that and much more. So, Gabe, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. So I guess we'll just start off talking about the recent big news of the national championship. Kind of walk us through that experience and how your life has changed since then.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, every year coach will mention about this NCCAA tournament. But unfortunately, in order to get in, you have to have a minimum of victories. I think it's like 18. And as you know, my first 3 years, we weren't doing pretty good. I don't think we ever had. This was our first winning season since we've been in Division II, NCAA Division II. So that was pretty nice. After that, we went to the GMAC tournament and unfortunately lost by 3 points against Finley, which was ranked 6th in the nation. But after that, coach was like, okay, we're not done. We can go to NCCAA and win it all. So we went there. It was Grace College in Indiana. First day was kind of weird for the guys because, you know, here we have chapel at 10. They told us, yeah, we're going to have chapel at 8:30 in the morning. So I don't know about you, but 8:30 is kind of early for anybody. So we had 8:30 chapel and then community service with kindergarten kids, and after that was just practices games. We played, the first two teams we played were actually pretty good, but we played really well. The first team we won like by 20 and second one by 10 plus points, but the last game was the championship game, was the tough one. We played the other only Division II team that was at the tournament, which is Roberts Wesleyan College from Rochester, New York. And dude, really, like, we started a game, first 9 minutes, we were down by 20 already, and we only scored, like, 2 points. It was, like, 21-2 or something like that. It was bad. Coach kind of, we gathered together with coach. Coach was telling us to calm down. He could tell everybody was nervous, and from there, we just started playing the one we know, and from there, we just, Colton Linkes was shooting really well that night, and he wasn't doing as well towards the beginning of the tournament, but I was talking to him. I was like, hey, remember when you tell me to shoot with confidence and just look at the basket and thinking that the ball is going to go in? And he said, yeah, I remember that. And I said, well, do that. Last thing you know, he's firing up shots, and we won by like 6 points and got the championship.
And how do you feel like you have a lot more popularity on campus now? Are people pointing at you going, oh shoot, that's Gabe Portillo, that's that national champion guy?
No, I feel like we came back to campus and honking horns and everything. I don't think people even knew we left, so I don't really think nothing changed. We had a shout out from Ryan Smith and Chapel on Monday, so that was nice, but I don't think nothing has changed. other than for you, that you're my classmate and you kind of appreciate my basketball life. So
I very much appreciated your basketball life.
There you go.
So what do you think's next? Do you think your basketball career is over? Or do you think there's a future in basketball still? Or are you kind of going out on top this way?
Well, as of now, I am going to be probably working in the States for at least a year. I'm part of a professional basketball team back home. In Europe, usually it works that you have clubs that you play for, and once you're part of one, you kind of stay in the club forever unless they sell you somewhere else. So I'm still part of that team, which is a Division II professional team in Italy, which is doing pretty good. And if nothing works out here for me to stay visa-wise and everything, then I'm probably going to go home and play basketball, at least for a little more.
And then eventually make the transition into the NBA.
Well, yeah, that's always the plan, you know. Hopefully I'll be joining my teammate, Baby Q, to the NBA.
So I guess talking about Italy, what Josh was asking before, who do you think's the greatest Italian basketball player, aside from yourself?
Well, I feel like there's two players that we can think about right now that are currently in the NBA. One is Marco Bellinelli, and one is Danilo Gallinari. Bellinelli is actually playing, I think he's playing for the Spurs right now. And he won a championship with them, which is kind of cool because that was the first Italian ever winning an NBA championship, and he actually tattooed the trophy on his arm or something like that. But I really like Gallinari because when everybody was saying how Luka Doncic can score whichever way he wants, and here, and it says in Europe was harder, someone interviewed him and he said, well, I can score however I want, wherever I want. So I think he's like a 6'10 wing, so he's actually pretty good. I think that's probably the best player, the Italian player in the NBA.
Sticking with the whole Italian national scene, mm-hmm. Would you ever consider trying to go for the Italian national team, try to make it into the Olympics? Feel like you're there yet, or?
Yeah, that's a tough transition. Actually, when I was in high school, they usually do. I don't know how it works here. It probably works the same way. You have a ranking, and they kind of do practices, and they call you in for practices with the national team. And I got cut because I wasn't tall enough. I was like 6'6", but people of my age at that time were already 6'8" for my position. So as of now, I believe I can do all things through Christ, so why not?
So you just make the transition to point guard, and then you've got plenty of height, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I always tell our point guard, Brandon, or we call him B-Moff, that my handles are kind of better than his. So honestly, just give me the ball and I can do the point guard job, yeah.
And we talk about this in class a lot. You also have less turnovers than he does.
Yeah, exactly. And
you only had like one or maybe zero turnovers.
Yeah, and that's a whole aspect of basketball IQ. Brandon is just a freshman. I'm a senior, so I know what passes have to be made, and definitely I'm not trying to turn it over.
So like we said, you're from Italy. Italy has this stereotype of great food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We would be remiss if we didn't bring that up. How disappointing was the Italian food in America when you got here compared to back home, like mama's cooking?
Well, for sure, you're going to think of... the first thing I was thinking when I came was, oh, yeah, everything is going to taste the same, right? Like,
sure.
They're like making Italian food our way. Instead, I came here and everything was very Americanized. Everything was put in together. Everything was so big. And, like, this is one thing about America. Everything is big. In Italy, we're very simple. Everything, I would say it's a little healthier for sure. But it was a difficult transition, especially when I'm trying to make pasta and chucks and it just doesn't taste like anything. So, tough transition. And I would say I miss my mom's cooking for sure.
Yeah. What would you say your mom's specialty is?
Well, there is this, every region in Italy has something typical. It could go from the kind of vegetables and fruit you can grow and where you're from and stuff like that. Well, where I'm from is really good, really famous for like truffles. They grow underground, and my mom makes this pasta, which is amazing. It's like penne with sausage, cream, and truffles, and it's like one of the most amazing things I've ever had.
So when you go to Olive Garden and you order the tour of Italy, is that a pretty misrepresentation of Italy?
Well, here's the thing. I went to Olive Garden once and I was very disappointed, so I haven't been there since. But like, for example, never had the tour of Italy, okay? But they had this thing. Here's the thing. No matter what kind of food it is, there's one thing about Italian people. We eat a lot, okay? So if you tell me to go Olive Garden and smash food, I'm going to, no matter how bad it is. And in fact, like, I went with my really good friend and future girlfriend, actually, called Summer Sulagi.
Does she know that she's your future girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, she knows. Okay. She knows. She definitely knows. God knows, too, so gotta be a thing. God's plan right there. Drake, we'll call him out for next podcast. I don't know if you ever gone, if you've gone to Olive Garden, they have this thing called never-ending stuffed pastas. They just bring you pasta as much. Dude, I went there, I got 5 plates. I don't know about you, but they lost money with that. With me, they lost money. So Olive Garden, honestly, I like it. I kind of got used to the food here, so even if it's Americanized, I love it.
So now that basketball's over and you're not probably going to be required to work out as much while you're here, how fat do you think you're going to get?
Well, here's the thing, and it's a great question. We always do every year, who you think an alumni is going to be the fattest. And surprisingly, I'm not the one winning, okay?
Who is the one winning?
I don't really want to put anybody in the spot and... You can guess, yes.
Is this all the seniors right now?
Well, honestly, if you do the seniors right now, it wouldn't work because Rob doesn't gain any fat, and G is like a model. So that would be me in that case. But who do you think in the 4 years that I've been here, or even from people last year, who you think will be the one?
So he's saying it's from last year.
There you go. All
right, so last year...
No, even seniors.
Yeah, Evan Kras, Patrick.
Junior.
Oh, okay. So it's either Joey or Quentin.
Well, you said both of them, so... actually, they're doing pretty good right now, and here's the fact. I feel like once we choose who we think he's going to be the fattest, they kind of get them... We give them a motivation to not be. So everybody's actually doing pretty good right now.
Okay.
Hey, today my... this week was my first week off, and I already went working out at least twice. So, hey, don't think I'm going to get fat.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how many trips to Olive Garden happen before.
Yeah, that's a good point right there.
It has to be Joey, right? It has to be.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah,
it's definitely Joey.
Yeah, but that's what we said. But actually, Joey's been working out a lot, and I'm proud of him because he looks great. So I'm not going to do my boy like that. So
shout out to Joey for not being fat.
Joey's gonna kill me.
So I've as you like you finished your career here and you're reflecting. Who's been like your favorite teammate that you've played with?
In 4 years, definitely favorite teammate to play with would have been Robert Okora, aka Tez, aka my roommate right now. He's the one because he stick with me 4 years, not like you and Joey to quit it. And therefore, like, he's also from Nigeria, so he's foreign like me, so we were able to relate in so many things. And it was my favorite team because we were both the same way. Very petty at times, very arrogant, very, you know, giving attitude to coach sometimes. But we've both grown and became better men today, so it was definitely a process we've gone through together.
And who's been... Like, what coach has had the most impact on you in 4 years? Cause I know there's kind of been quite a bit of turnover with assistant coaches.
Yeah.
But has any specific coach kind of stuck out in 4 years?
Well, we had this one coach, I think was my sophomore. No, actually, yeah, my sophomore year. His name was Coach Sock. No, shout out to Coach Sock. He's awesome, too. But Coach Fox... Coach Fox, big boy Coach Fox. He was a 6'7", big boy, All-American, D2 All-American from Dallas Baptist University. He was awesome because he was just so big, and every time we play post-perimeter, he would try to guard us, and it was always so tough because he's so big. But he was like one of the coolest guy playing college, was able to relate in so many things, and just had an impact on us because he was a goofball. So it was fun to play around with him.
I remember Coach Fox single-handedly destroyed us in the intramural.
With polos on to
play. Yeah, he'd play us in intramural basketball with golf shirts and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you're aware, but we have a Cedarville basketball team member in our hall.
Oh, wow.
That's what he tells everyone when he goes out in public. Zach Williams.
Oh, Zach Williams.
He lives down the hall, so.
That boy Zach.
Someone asked, he would tell them that he's on the basketball team. Like, he went to Subway, and he proudly told the lady that he was with the basketball team so he could get free food and stuff like that. But how much of a role does he actually play on the team?
Well, I will say two things. Zach is an awesome person, an awesome friend. And I would think, out of all people that told in the past that they're part of the basketball team, I will consider Zach one of us, because he's the one he's the one taking care of our bodies. He's the one taping us. He's the one making sure we're not injured. So I think he's one of us. But if you want to ask a better question, ask who in the past will consider himself a basketball player, but he wasn't.
Who in the past would consider himself a basketball player but wasn't?
Great question. So we're gonna go to this one person that everybody knew was a student assistant for a long time. Shout out to Ben Bowden. His actual name is Bowden, but we call him Bowden because it'll piss him off. So a little story right here, okay?
All
right. Does Ben listen to this?
Probably not.
Okay.
But he's a friend of the program anyway.
So he won't kill me for this. Anyways, he works for SGA, so he's holier than anybody else now. Just thinking about freshman year, right?
I remember that.
Freshman year, you know, new on the basketball team. We literally, and this is from sources, the reliable sources, okay? He will go around campus and be like, yeah, I'm part of the basketball team. I was offered to come here, and I hurt my ankle, so I can't play. So now I serve as a student assistant. And to this day, we still don't understand why he would say something like that. Love Ben, love his work integrity, but man, whenever we would stretch before practice and he would try to shoot and go for a layup, that boy couldn't make none of them. So, Ben, are you really trying to – Ben, were you really going to play here, man? I love you, but I don't know about that. Just a little story right there.
So, if Zach and Ben were playing one-on-one, who do you think would win?
Oh, that's a – wow. I would love – well, Zach has played before one-on-one against Wes Stevens, our athletic trainer. And I will tell you this. If I have to choose between Zach and Ben on one-on-one, I would choose Zach any day. That boy Zach got some post moves. He can use his butt.
And there's a lot of butt there to use.
Yeah.
We asked this to Quentin when he was on the show.
Okay.
Time's winding down, I guess. So go back to the tournament. Time's winding down. You need somebody to hit two free throws to go up one against Finley. Who's taking the shot?
Oh, well. This is a great question. I will go with the number one ranked in the nation free throw shooter, Connor Tenhove. That boy has the weirdest form of free throw that I've ever seen, but man, he can make them. Mm-hmm. He can shoot some free throws. I don't know about everything else because I always tell him I'm better than him, but he can shoot free throws.
Who would not take the shot?
Who would not? Man. I'm going to be humble and not say me, so I'm going
to
say someone else.
Humble.
Yes. Man, everybody in our team is pretty good at free throws. I would say not Zach. Yeah, let's not put Zach in the free throw for his first minutes of playing. Okay, let's not put Zach.
If Zach's on the court taking the free throws, it sounds like there's a lot more problems.
Yeah, but let's not put him there, you know, from the first place.
And, you know, speaking of humble, looking at the free throw percentages, you are holding up the bottom there with a 50% free throw mark. We would care to explain.
Well, yeah, like I always like to, you know, don't let the opposite team think I'm too good or even too bad to shoot. So I'm halfway, you know.
There you go. Or even more impressive than the 2-for-4 free throw stat is the 0-for-5 three-pointer.
Oh, yeah. Funny story. Is that from last year or from this year? I don't know.
This year.
Well, you know, after sitting in the bench for a long time and having cold legs and just whenever I would go in and just take a shot, I just wouldn't feel good. You know, I finished warm-ups. I feel like I'm Ray Allen or Steph Curry and making all the shots. But after sitting down for 35 minutes, I don't think my legs feel the same, you know. So definitely not my best stat for this year.
But you made up for it because among all the players who have played at least 10 games, you have the fewest turnovers.
Yeah. It's all about basketball IQ, so I'm going to teach that to Brendan, our point guard.
Security is job security.
So. Yeah, there you go.
In today's day and age, video games seem to be all the craze, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, historically going back, one of the greatest video games of all time has some Italian roots in it, the Mario Brothers.
Oh, wow, there you go.
Yeah, so would you consider yourself more of a Mario or Luigi? I see your father's name is Mario, so...
Yeah, I would definitely go for Mario just because there is some... because of my dad, you know. I'm definitely a little darker than Mario, but... I would definitely go for a Mario because I like red as well. I'm not a big fan of green. So, I would see myself more of a Mario.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, so the speed round, something that we do with all of the guests we have on.
Oh, boy.
It's just like rapid-fire questions. You have to try and answer them as quick as you want. Usually, some tangent gets taken, and it takes a lot longer than you think. But we'll just start off real nice and easy.
Okay.
What's your favorite food?
Pasta.
What's your favorite drink?
Probably sweet tea.
Favorite place to visit?
Australia.
What kind of car do you drive?
Ford Focus.
Do you have any pets?
No, I don't.
Are you close with your family?
Yes, I'm close to my family.
Let's see. What's the most embarrassing moment of your life?
Probably answering these questions.
How do you handle a bad hair day?
Bad hair day? Just put a hoodie on.
I thought you were going to say just put it in a bun like you did now.
Yeah, but if it's rough like you said, I just put a hoodie on.
If you were any superhero, what would you be?
Michael Connor.
Oh, perfect answer. Something I think might have a similar answer. Who's the reason why you're going to pass your finance class this semester?
Definitely Michael Connor.
All right. Disney or Nickelodeon?
Disney.
Bowling or mini golf?
Bowling.
LeBron or MJ?
Oh, MJ any day.
Any day?
Yeah.
Not even close.
Not even close.
If you could play one other sport, what would it be?
Soccer.
If you had to compare your game to that of an NBA player, who would it be?
One player would it be? Yeah, I'll go with Danilo Gallinari. Yeah, boy.
All right, and then if you had to have one actor play you in the Gabe Portillo movie, who would it be?
One actor?
Yeah. What actor would play you in a movie?
Oh, the boy John Travolta.
John Travolta?
Yeah.
I was going to go more for like a Fabio.
No, that boy John.
That boy John. All right, and then the last question that we ask everyone is, do you think O.J. Simpson did it?
Yes.
How confident are you in that answer?
I'm not confident at all.
Good. All right, well. You survived the speed round. This is probably the quickest speed round we've ever done.
Yeah, it was tough. It was very tough.
I might attribute it to some better questions on my part, so I'll take some credit for it. But
thank you.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael.
All right. Well, Gabe, thank you for joining us this week.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations again on capping off a successful career.
Appreciate it.
We wish you nothing but the best as you look to pursue your NBA dreams.
Thank you so much. See you in class, Michael.
See you tomorrow.
Making a living the old hard way, taking and giving my day by day.
Special thanks to Gabe Portillo for being on the podcast this week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Infield Singles and listen to us every Friday on Spotify and iTunes. And as always, tee it high and let it fly. Deuces!